Fox Valley Voice.
Hey guys, welcome to a special episode of Rivertown Life. I'm your host, Bree Hayes. We're a part of the Fox Valley Voice podcast network. Today we're going to be talking to Abby Beck, who's running for alderman of the 5th Ward of Batavia. And she's really great, guys. She'd be really great for our city, and I endorse her as a person. I'll be voting for her. It's no secret. And I hope you'll vote for her, too, if you live in the 5th Ward. I hope you'll also just listen to this conversation and realize how easy it is to get involved and to make a difference in your own community, whatever community that is. And if you are in Batavia, go vote on April 2nd. If you're not in 5th Ward, vote for whoever you find most magical in your own ward. There are some great options. There's also some really important votes for both the library board and the school board. I have some opinions about both. We'll not be getting into it on this podcast, but we'll probably do a post on Facebook sometime before the election. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Abby Beck. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Welcome to my kitchen. Thank you for setting up here.
I thought it was important because we've had so many conversations about the city and our, you know, plans for future Batavia. Mm-hmm. Just when there's been no reason other than we became friends and started sitting at your kitchen table and talking about the future of Batavia.
Yeah.
And so this is a great time. Great place.
I like it. Thank you.
So, Abby, you are running for alderman of the 5th Ward mm-hmm. here in Batavia.
Yep.
And we're going to get all into that. But I want to paint a picture of when I first saw you for the first time, because it was actually at a city council meeting.
That's right. Yep.
And I think I was there for something fawn related. It was in the very beginning stages when I was working with the city to set up my shop. Mm-hmm. And you were there for a campaign for walkability where you were making these little signs that would say Water Street Studios is a mile and a half walk from here, and all like different businesses and different landmarks around the city. And so the room was empty because it usually yes. the audience is usually empty.
Yep.
Except for me and my husband. Mm-hmm. Who was not my husband at the time. Well, he was my boyfriend. But and then you, who was just this like really cute, spunky looking 25-year-old.
Yes. Yes, 25.
Or what I expected, which is something I think we both get, is uh-huh. that we both look younger than we are.
Yep.
But I was like, oh, she just looks like real cool and like she must be, you know, in college and doing these cool things. And then over time, especially once I opened up my shop, you started coming in and I was like, oh no, this is a woman my age who just does the coolest stuff around Batavia because she has a passion to make it better.
Thanks.
But that was my first experience of you was actually in that room.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember you too, because I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to this store all the time. Yep. So glad this is coming to Batavia. This is fantastic.
And so I really, before we get into why you're running, I want you to talk a little bit about what you've been doing in Batavia through the walkability campaign and through the Environmental Commission. You've put a lot of your volunteerism out in Batavia already. Can you just tell us what you've been up to in the last couple of years?
Yeah. So it started with that campaign that I was at City Council to discuss that night. So it was called Walk Your City, and the signs would indicate how many minutes it would take to walk or bike somewhere. So it was real concrete, you know, and that was the objective, was to say it's not too far. You should be able to walk and bike most places in Batavia. It's a small town and we're built, you know, pretty old fashioned in a lot of places. So It just makes sense to capture some of those shorter trips. Instead of driving, let's walk or bike them. So from the Walk Your City, so that was my like introduction to city council too. That was the first time I'd ever been in front of them. That was terrifying. But it went well. They were receptive and the signs have been up ever since. We have continued to work on walking and biking. We did this AARP-funded little mini documentary, which talked to business owners. We talked to moms and dads with strollers. We had residents from River Rain walk around downtown Batavia with us and tell us their experience. What was easy? What was hard? What could we improve? What is beautiful that they'd never seen before? And from their feedback and then presenting it to different groups around town have just pushed little initiatives here and there just to make things a little bit more walking friendly. And it kind of started with I had gone to Las Vegas for 6 years after college and started and went to grad school there and studied environmental science. One of the biggest contributors to climate change is our transportation sector. And living in a post-World War II mega suburb like Las Vegas, I was so frustrated with the fact that people living in these kinds of cities, they don't have a choice but to drive. We have designed walking and biking out of urban planning. Everything is so spread out. Everything is segregated. We have to drive everywhere. And I just drove me absolutely crazy. I was like, but you know where you don't have to drive? You don't necessarily have to drive in Batavia. So I'm going to go home and make sure I can communicate that to everybody. Like, we've got something good here. You don't have to drive everywhere here. Driving is dangerous. And oh, it just like wore at my soul having to be in my car so much in Las Vegas that we sold one car, moved back here, haven't bought a second car, try to walk and bike everywhere, would only live within a certain radius of downtown so that we could walk and bike. And so, yeah, that's kind of how the walkability all got started.
It's so funny to hear you say that you lived in a place and moved back here to walk and bike around, because I moved from Chicago. And so I came out here and I was like, I hadn't had a car for years and years. And I really tried for a significant amount of time to not have a car here. And it is really hard. Mm-hmm. But I think one of those things is that you realize that that's your mindset.
Yep.
Because like I was coming from a place that was so convenient all of the time. You're coming from a place from like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so where do we meet in the middle and how do we educate each other? Mm-hmm. Because I hear that from people all the time. Like there are so many people that don't walk or don't ride their bikes. And that's coming back to, I love that you've made it your like mission.
Yeah.
To, you know, to educate people, because like once you have that knowledge, like, yeah, of course I can do those walks. I can. And I also live close enough to downtown. And that was one of the things that made me feel like I could live here is that I could walk and ride my bike places. Because when I think suburbs, I just think cars.
Yep.
All the time.
Yep.
For days and days.
Yep. Yeah, when I describe Batavia to people that have never been here, they're like, oh, you're just a suburb. But it's like, well, no, we're not. We were here before Chicago, and Chicago built out to us. And that's why everything to the west is still cornfield, and everything east is suburbia. But we were here first. Like, we've still got that core downtown that we can build from. So, yes, we're a suburb, but we're not a suburb.
So you, other than college and your time in Las Vegas, like you are a lifelong Batavian, generations back, correct?
Generations. I am fifth generation Batavian.
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. I couldn't even name. I can't even give you the names of all the generations before, but I know I'm fifth.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, I don't know in my own family history, five generations back. That's amazing.
I know there is a Bliss, like Bliss Road out west. That's in my family.
Oh, that's yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I know Bliss Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice farm.
Yeah. Well, cool. What else have you done other than the walkability campaign? I know like you serve on the Environmental Commission.
Yep. I'm on the Environmental Commission. I am a core team member of the Fox Valley Sustainability Network. I'm newly on the Water Street Studios Advisory Council, which is really fun. I have a volunteer with my son's green team at HC Storm School. What else do I do? Well Batavia, co-founder of the Well Batavia Initiative, which is really fun. And we have a annual festival that happens in June. And then we've just spread out. It's kind of where a lot of the walkability now falls, is in this Well Batavia Initiative. And we've got other health initiatives that we take from the festival and expand upon for the whole year.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know you're doing something over the summer with First Fridays, is that?
Yeah.
True? Second Fridays. In Batavia.
It falls into the walkability and just the placemaking aspect of, if you want to have a walkable place, you have to have some places to go to. So working with Main Street is a logical partnership there, because they're all about promoting and establishing new businesses downtown and creating place. So we're partnering with them to make sure that we are not only adding attractions to get people down there, but making it easier to walk around. So where are there missing crosswalks? Where are there just missing teeth in the landscape of when you're walking around? You know, if there's a big empty swath of land where nothing's there, it's not activated, as they say in the biz, like, let's activate that space so that they have a reason to, you know, breadcrumbs to get from River Street to Water Street, totally, where a lot of our stuff is concentrated.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So you're already busy. You're already doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. What made you want to also run for city council?
A lot of the things that I'm doing need a voice on city council. Like, there needs to be someone that can speak to environmental issues on city council. Somebody needs to speak to parking and traffic and sidewalk widths on city council. We need to push for plans. A pedestrian plan is something else that I'm working on. And so somebody to push that through and champion that to get it enacted and put some teeth behind it, so that when we have new development, that it has connectivity. You know, I'd love to take it as far as there's just so many elements of urban design that city council can impact. But there's been a certain way of building cities since World War II that is not sustainable. But we take it for granted at this point, right? This is just the way we build subdivisions. This is just the materials we use. This is the way we do drainage. This is the way we build cul-de-sacs. And this is the way we segregate uses. You know, we're not going to put a corner store or any retail or anything in this neighborhood. That's a separate zone altogether. There are just a lot of design features that are brand new. And we've been building cities pretty much along the same route for ever until World War II. And then the car came in and we completely upended the way we build cities. So it's a new phenomenon. It has its problems, but it's a hard mindset to break. And so someone's got to get in there and kind of start poking. And there are a few people on council now that already do some of that poking and have recognized, like, maybe there's a better way. And so I just want to get on there. And it just brings all the worlds together. It brings the wellness. It brings the sustainability. It brings the walkability. It's just bringing them to the policy level.
Totally. And I think that is something. So you are all about our environment. And I think a lot of our generation is coming to the mindset of, in order to make an impact, we all have to be like this, and we all have to be this like this all the time. Mm-hmm. But there are generations that came before us that don't have that mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think, because I know you've gotten no wee bit of criticism that you're going to be this one track mind. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, and that's fine. But I also it's not like you're just this hippie who wants to be on city council. Mm-hmm. Your background is in some sort of urban development, correct?
My research was, yeah.
Totally.
Didn't work professionally. Went, was going to go back for an urban planning degree, but had Logan on the first day of school, so I never got that second master's. Otherwise, I would have.
You never got that second master's?
Yeah.
What's your first master's in?
Environmental science.
Okay.
Professional student if it paid the bills. It does not.
It does not. So you're going to be on city council, possibly, yes, which also doesn't pay the bills.
No.
Nor does all of your volunteer work that you've already done.
No, not really. Yeah, good call. I'm not going to pay the bills. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But what I do want to speak to is that, yeah, the reason that you have, you know, you have all of these opinions. It's mm-hmm. not not stuff that you're just like, I love the earth.
Right. I'm not doing this for a polar bear. I mean, I am, but there's just so much, it's so much easier to connect with local things, and polar bear is not necessarily the best poster child for climate change, for example, because we can't connect with the polar bear in Batavia, Illinois, or can't see the connections all the way up to the polar bear, but yeah.
But you can see the connections in your children who mm-hmm. are young, and you want a better place for them.
Yeah.
And you're someone, because I don't think every person, every parent looks at their kid and then looks at a sidewalk and thinks, I need to make this sidewalk better for my kid. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much. We've kind of forgotten how to walk, and then we have forgotten or found it to, because so fewer people are walking and biking, there's less just kind of that casual surveillance. So then when there's nobody out on the sidewalks, then it seems really unsafe to walk because there's no one else out there kind of making you feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
So the less that are doing it, the less that will do it because it seems unsafe. So yeah, we'll get more people out there. So it seems like the norm again, and then it'll be safer too.
Yeah. There was a forum for voters the other day, and I can say that you were able to speak on a lot of different issues that were not just about environmental mm-hmm. impact. But I also, I like what you're saying about how every decision, and you said it very succinctly the other day, is that there is a way of looking at how will this affect our environment mm-hmm. To every, you know, to every decision that's being made.
Yep. Yep.
And that's our future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that really needs to be linked for people, is that the environment is our future.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, there's not a single topic that city council discusses that isn't an environmental topic. We just don't frame it that way. We don't see the connection. So, yes, I may look like I'm coming from the environmental world and all she's going to do is advocate for the environment, but the environment, we don't exist outside of the environment. So it's every issue is the environment.
Yeah. What are some of the other issues, that you see are going to be important, moving forward in Batavia and how we create, better Batavia?
So, everything is all interconnected, but funding or infrastructure is an issue across the country, not just in Batavia. I know from previous walking projects and some research that I was doing that, you know, we don't have a fund in our budget for new sidewalks. So new sidewalks aren't being built if it's not a new development. We're not necessarily covering all of the required maintenance of our streets and sidewalks with the budgeted amount that we have. And that's an issue. We're going to get this backlog of infrastructure, that we're not funding. And the fact that we can't fund it 100% at this point, to me, says we shouldn't build any more and just keep adding to this stock of stuff that we can't afford to maintain. And that kind of goes back to a lot of the walkability and the downtown placemaking too, because we've got an older stock of infrastructure that we're not using to its fullest potential. Mm-hmm. We're not making the most productive use of the most productive land that we have, which is downtown land. It's where we get the most sales revenue, or I'm sorry, sales tax revenue, the most property tax revenue per square foot. So to focus our efforts on developing that rather than developing out on the outskirts of town would help us along that way, where we can build wealth on the infrastructure we have instead of adding infrastructure to our liability list. So that's a big one. I think the dam is another big question mark on all of Batavia's minds.
Yeah.
And one way or another, it'll be gone sometime soon. And so just to have a plan in place for what happens when it goes, the biggest question really isn't about the dam at all. It's just about the pond at the depot. Because without the dam, that will dry up. So do we issue bonds or start saving up to protect and reestablish that pond artificially? Or do we let it go and let it go dry and build it up, build a beautiful bioswale or butterfly garden there, or put a building on it? You know, but there's so much nostalgia stuck to that. 100%. So those are big issues because we don't have a way to fund it right now, the dam removal or fixing of the pond.
I'm really proud that I know what a bioswale is, but can you can you explain that for our listeners who might not know what a bioswale is?
Sure. And I'm not an ecologist either, but you know, it's kind of a water retention area that's been more naturalized. So you're gonna have native plants and it's kind of an area that can flood. It can be dry, but it's just a more natural way of doing. You see big water retention, detention ponds that are just water or nothingness, kind of.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more intentional way of planting and
totally
building that, I think. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have an ecologist tell me I'm totally wrong. But
no, I think from what I know, you're right on track.
Okay, good.
And if which I'm sure most people live in the area, and if they are walking the river path, right when you get into Fabian Park in Geneva, if you look to your left, there is actually a sign that says this is a bioswale. Mm-hmm. And it gives like an actual definition.
And here's what I do. Yeah, those signs are great.
Which is super, mm-hmm. super great. And that's how I know what a bioswale is. I read that sign. But I think you just pointed out something that's like really interesting. And one of the reasons that I'm excited to have you as a city council member is that you're thinking in the future, mm-hmm. and you're also thinking about possible solutions, mm-hmm. and you're not saying this is the solution, you're just saying, hey, we're gonna have to make some choices, and here are some possible outcomes. And I think when talking about environmental impact and watching your response versus some of the other responses about building a second bridge, yours was a different response than most people.
Yeah. Differentiated myself on that one.
Yeah. But you had a reason for it, and you had the most thought out reason, because everybody else was like, yeah, we need a second bridge. Traffic's bad. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. And I think about what the world's going to look like in the future, and what driving is going to look like. And, I respect your view so much more. And I think you're right that there isn't necessarily that really educated, thinking about the future of both how we're going to live, mm-hmm. and how we're going to interact with our environment. And that's something, yeah, that's missing on our city council, and that I think a lot of people want.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yeah.
I also, one thing that like I, when I look at the city council, and I don't necessarily feel represented as a woman and as a millennial. And that is something that you would be able to bring that voice, mm-hmm. both as a woman and we're both old millennials, but yes. We are still millennials. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think representation matters. And that first time, you know, speaking in front of city council, but knowing I knew Lucy as my alder alderwoman, able to then go to her with questions, and I feel very comfortable. You know, there's something to feeling more comfortable with someone that looks like you, and I think that's important. And the way I interact with my city is very different than what a generation above me, how they interacted with their city. And so my expectations are different. And I think we need to be conscious of that, and we need to represent those ideas moving forward. So, yeah, I want to be that another approachable female face on city council. I want to speak for younger people that may not be getting their driver's license, may really just want a cool, dense downtown to go to. And they don't want high taxes, just like the rest of us. So I think it's important. And the idea of an all-male council does kind of scare me, because it's 2019. It just doesn't feel like there should be an all-male city council.
No, anywhere. Not at all. Anywhere.
And nothing, you know, all due respect to the men that are on council, because I do think the world of all the men that are on there. But, you know, it's just a different landscape. That,
yeah. Yeah.
It's intimidating.
The last time we did one of these special bonus episodes was with Jamie Sam, and we were talking about home rule. It was right before we had an important vote here in Batavia. And she was talking about, she ran for city council when she was a lot younger. She was in her
she was in her 20s for sure.
Yeah. And she had two small kids, and she would talk about how, you know, she brought them campaigning with her, and she brought them to meetings.
Yeah.
And and then that was a really strategic move for her, is because she really wanted to help empower other women who maybe felt like they didn't have a voice, or maybe felt like they couldn't do certain things because they had small kids, and be like, no, we just make space.
Yep.
And I think that is something that really, when she was talking about that, just really ignited something in me. Is like, oh yeah, we have to see that.
Yep.
And I've heard you've gotten some feedback too about how are you going to run for, or how are you going to be on city council and be so involved with three young kids. And I, you know, you can answer that. But what I love is that, well, we've seen someone else do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we need to continue to see people do it to let people know that that's possible.
Yep. Yeah. I remember hearing Jamie talk about it, and it's like, yes, thank you. Thank you for being the first one to do that. I mean, I will probably definitely have instances where my kids are in the alderman room coloring during a meeting because something happened, a babysitter fell through, Jeff is out of town, kids are coming with me. I went to a conference last fall and had my youngest, Theodore, was just 4 months old at the time. And so I would be at the conference during the day, and then I would go back to the hotel room and relieve my husband for a little bit, and I'd take the baby with me to the expo hall and walk through the exhibits with the baby. And these two women stopped me. I've got them like all, you know, in the wrap, the little nugget. And this woman stopped me, and she's like, thank you. Thank you for bringing your baby here. We need to normalize that. We need to make that okay, because we lose young mothers from these ages because they feel like they can't participate. Because it is a lot of work to participate sometimes when you've got all these little, you know, ankle biters all around you all the time, but you make it work. And to be able to then invite, like, there's, you know, there's an issue on the table. I know some people want to be engaged and hear what's going on and speak at city council. Oh, but I've got kids. Great. Bring them. I'll bring mine. We'll put them back in that back room. We'll take turns, you know, we'll strategically set up some people to stay back there and hang out. And then we don't lose those people. We make it okay. Plus, they go to bed at 7 o'clock, so I can put them to bed before coming to meetings. I actually don't miss out on much of their lives. It's great.
Yeah,
I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Not worried at all.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you so much for running and for being a representative. I am so excited to vote for you.
Thanks.
Because I live in your ward, and I get to do that. Is there anything else that you wanna say or plug or?
No, I will plug my kitchen counter to anybody that's listening that has an idea that wants to hear more about the city, wants to hear more about me, but mostly wants to talk about the city. Come sit at my kitchen counter like this,
and it's
I'll make you coffee.
Beautiful kitchen counter. It is by far my favorite kitchen counter in Batavia.
We like it.
It's very large.
It's very large. I can fit a lot of people. We can chat for a long time right here. And we do. So
yeah,
come join me.
Awesome.
It's great.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming.
And we'll put a link in there, but if people do want to hear more about you and more about, all of the other people running, mm-hmm. Not just for aldermen, but for the school board and the library board, there was the League of Women's Voters Forum mm-hmm. that happened. And it was so cool, in my opinion. I didn't know I had such strong feelings about both the library board and the school board, but I yeah. really, really do. And I might talk about that some other time.
Good.
But we'll put a link because I think you get really specific about some issues. And I feel like you did a really great job of representing who you will be as our alderman. And if I get my way, who you'll be as our mayor someday.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to our conversation. Just one more reminder to vote on April 2nd in your local Batavia election if you're here in Batavia. And we have some really cool stuff happening on the podcast this spring and summer. Cannot wait to talk to you about it. We'll be making those announcements soon. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to find out more. All right. Happy spring, y'all. Bye.
Valley Voice.
Nothing good rhymes with Abby. Flabby, Gabby, Crabby.
Scabby.
Scabby. I got scabby in high school.
Rabby?
It's like nothing good.
No.